Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
You're listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya 959. As you can imagine, Kerabilo a moment touched on the fact that we are seeing markets at a real all-time high rally, not only when it comes to the stock markets, equities in South Africa and abroad, but also when it comes to the commodity prices, in particular gold, platinum, palladium, which are not being left behind. But one key theme that he touched on was luxury. Now, for many of us, when we think Louis Vuitton, Moët & Chandon, and of course Hennessy, these are all luxury groups that fall under the LVMH group. And boy, oh boy, have they come a long way since the pandemic. Fresh new insights into how South Africans and, of course, globally they have been spending, and some of the outcomes that actually do speak to positive prospects coming out of the luxury group. To tell us more, we're joined by a good friend of the show who's always on the numbers and knows how best to simplify them for us, Finance Ghost, who's a retail analyst. Ghost, welcome back to the show. Always a delight to have you.
Good evening. Yeah, it's always good to do this. I was Chucky Narkers where I grew up, which was East Rand adjacent. It was Moët & Chandon, but that was something very different. I don't think they say that in France when they do their beautiful announcements.
No ways. Far from it. I think the French would be offended as to how we do. We call it Moët.
No, they would. Yeah, definitely.
That's true. But ons moet praat van LVMH, if we can put it that way.
Absolutely.
The numbers that are coming out of this luxury lender are surging. And maybe before we even talk about the numbers, we just need to get context into just how significant, how large, and how this is really a business of great resilience that we've also witnessed in terms of its growth and diversification. For anyone who's not familiar with LVMH, other than just the luxury brands we've mentioned, how else would you describe the business?
So I think it actually comes, and it's really interesting. So everyone always says luxury when they say LVMH. So let me ask you, what does luxury mean to you? What do you think distinguishes luxury from affluent in retail? How would you define
it? Wow, that's a very good question. I would think anything that kind of enhances your quality of life or the experience of it. And you're right, we often associate luxury with a higher price, but that price is also affiliated with the value that I think I'm actually getting out of that brand. So that would be my interpretation.
So your interpretation there would be what would be like mass affluent, basically. So stuff that we can kind of, you know, if you earn well, you've got a chance of affording, you spoil yourself with your bonus or Christmas presents, yeah, or whatever. When we talk lux, and I mean specific, and there's a reason why I'm mentioning this. So Ferrari, Hermes, those are luxury to the max, because Ferrari, for example, they force the issue to have a 24-month waiting list for a new Ferrari. Mm. Doesn't matter who you are. Mm. You can phone them up from Hollywood. You're going to wait. Mm. That's how this works. You want to buy a Birkin bag from Hermes, then fine, you're going to wait, you know? And so when it comes to true luxury, it's almost like money actually isn't enough. And that's really the test at the end of the day. Whereas at Hermes, or rather at LVMH, it's actually quite different to that. They don't operate in that space. They're not as luxe as that. So Louis Vuitton, yes, that's luxe. But stuff like Sephora... So that's one of the biggest growth stories in LVMH. That is actually a cosmetics retailer. Yes. It's like a very fancy Clicks.
Oh, yeah,
basically.
Very. You should see the ladies' queue up there. I remember being at that store, and it's luxury galore and spending that you enjoy. I appreciate the differentiation there, because it almost seems as though, as you've mentioned, the likes of Ferrari, there's money is not enough. It's almost like the fact that this product is elusive. But for LVMH,
that's it.
They are making it accessible, but of course at a particular price. And it does seem to be paying off for them, because on the back of their earnings and results that they shared with us today, their share price has rallied significantly. Help us make sense of the numbers.
Yeah, it has rallied significantly, and they've actually had a really tough year. So the share price, even though it's up about 7% in the past 5 days, is actually still down around 5.5% year to date. So it's had a hard year, and get this, it's only roughly at about 2/3 of the level we saw in 2023. So it is way down from when, you know, the founding family were basically among the richest people in the world. He was the richest guy in the world at a short for a short stage in time. And then the shine just came off luxury in a big way for a bunch of reasons. China started to clamp down a bit on lux, and we had the tariffs, we had all these geopolitical issues, etc. And so that makes it quite difficult for these share prices to live up to their lofty valuations. The reason why the LVMH share price is up is because their latest quarterly update, and basically all they do is they just give a sales update each quarter. Because it's a European company, you don't get full fat quarterly results like you do for the Americans. So they release a quarterly revenue update, And basically all that's happened out there is there's a small acceleration in the latest quarter. So if you look over the 9 months year to date, so that includes the latest quarter, organic growth was actually down 2%. In Q3, though, it was up 1%. So you can see that Q3 was better than Q1 and Q2. But again, up 1%, right? That's not exactly exciting, is it? And one of the things that the market liked was the nice uptick in the US in particular. It was up 3% for the quarter, offset a lot of pain that was there earlier in the year. How's this one? Japan, really bad, minus 13% this quarter. Ooh. Still better, though, than minus 28% in Q2. So those numbers, honestly, all over the place. They also disclose Asia excluding Japan, which turned positive. So obviously China's a very important market there. There was also some usual corporate gumph. So they talk about Europe. They describe it as being broadly stable, minus 2%. I'm not sure that's broadly stable. Europe has actually gotten worse each quarter. So the words are working quite hard there. Mm-hmm. So that geographical overview is pretty interesting, right? And if you want, I can then dig into the segmentals as well, the different types of products that they actually sell.
100%. And maybe we should go there, right? Because as you've mentioned, it's the alcohol brands, it's the luxury clothing and goods that they also do provide for. Talk us through some of those verticals and which one might be performing better than the other.
Absolutely. So let's start with the alcohol. And everyone's been talking about alcohol this year, right? And how so many of those share prices have actually done quite badly, changing consumer preferences, blah, blah, blah. So interestingly enough, the wines and spirits business up around 1% this quarter, first positive quarter this year. But here's the interesting split. Champagne and wine did all of the hard work here because spirits of the non-ghosty variety, more cognac, that was down 12%. So champagne and wines up, spirits ugly down, and net-net wines and spirits ever so slightly up. If you look at fashion and leather, and that's very much the heartbeat of this group, that was down 2% this quarter. Actually, their best quarter of the year so far, if you can believe it. Perfume and cosmetics up 2%. Again, best quarter this year, and it's only up 2%. Here's another one that's really interesting. Watches and jewelry up 2% versus the previous two quarters where it was flat. And in here, I would reference that Tiffany and Co. seem to be doing just fine. I think what's happening here is pretty much what I expected with diamonds in particular, where mined diamonds still certainly have a home among the very wealthy. I somehow doubt that the likes of Taylor Swift has given a lab-grown diamond. But the middle market has fallen away there for diamonds, and where LVMH plays, they're still fine. But selective retailing, that was the winner. That's actually where Sephora sits, and that was up 7%. So the funny thing about LVMH, and I stress this every time I write about it, is that the best part of the business is also the least luxurious, hilariously.
I see what you mean. And that's quite intriguing, as you mentioned, you know, because it actually speaks to where the growth will come from. So essentially those who are aspirational in terms of wealth and perhaps new participants to a higher level of income potential and earning a higher income. I'm intrigued as to which population or which market is actually going to drive that growth. And maybe that takes us back to the regions that you touched on a moment ago. Europe, as you mentioned, they have enough problems, whether it's Germany or France. But we know those economies have been struggling, including the UK as well. It almost sounds as though the sweet spot for LVMH continues to be in Asia, and more specifically China. But how are you reading the analysis, especially on the back of the fact that the world is still very uncertain and unstable from a geopolitical point of view?
Yeah, so it's Asia plus it's America as well, undoubtedly. I mean, the Americans are just dripping in money. That's the reality in relative terms. The banking results this week proved it again. The US market is still cooking just fine. You know, no problems there. So that remains the big growth opportunity for them. And yeah, it's good to see that LVMH has at least started to turn higher. For your listeners, if they'd like to go look at another luxe stock just for fun, go have a look at Kering. And what makes Kering very interesting, so it owns Gucci, among a few other things, Yves Saint Laurent as well. And what makes that really interesting is the new CEO is a turnaround specialist. Would you like to guess what sector he was in before?
Must be tech.
It's not a bad guess, but so he is outside of Lux, but no, not tech. He actually was the guy who turned around Renault. So they went and said, our business is in the toilet. We better go and get someone who's not from Lux, is actually going to be able to bring some new thinking. And they got a guy who is responsible for the Renault Quid. So basically the same man who helped the Quid get all around the world is now helping Gucci reduce its time to market on new designs, have more sort of just typical basics at luxury level, obviously, in stock as opposed to all the fancy stuff all the time. It's a very, very interesting sector. And of course, you've got Richemont to look at on the local markets if this is something you are interested in.
Exactly. Luca De Meo. I think that's how you pronounce his name.
There we go. That's him.
CEO of Kering. That's him. Interesting dynamics. I guess a twofold question, and this really speaks to us as retail investors. Do we like the handbags and the bubbles? Yes, we do. But we also want to own the stock, especially if there's still upside potential. I can imagine that you've done the metrics from a technical point of view when it comes to the PE ratio, price earnings ratio, and many other themes that you look at. But for us as retail investors who might be considering this to add to our portfolio, I guess, unfair question, buy, hold, sell. And is it one that's worthwhile to look at, especially for the long term?
Yeah, so look, the long term is the right way to think about these stocks. The idea is you would be paying a very high multiple, not because of growth, as we've just discussed, but rather because you believe in the permanence of these brands. I've got to say the one that's on my watch list of all of them is Ferrari. It had a terrible share price drop after the Capital Markets Day. Mm-hmm. The market was expecting a crazy growth rate, and the Ferrari, you could almost hear the Italians going, you know, we've never promised this. What's going on? You know, we make only a few cars. We don't increase our volumes. Anyway, Ferrari plummeted down to a PE in the mid-30s. Still slightly higher for me, but this company was once in the 50s and 60s. So Ferrari is the one that I would watch. I'm kind of hoping for a bit more weakness. I'm deciding how greedy I want to be. Although I have to try and just manage myself. It's like a vision board stock, right? I obviously have an emotive connection to the product that I need to try and just take out of the equation. And maybe that's the risk here. When you look at these luxe brands, you've got to be quite careful. You know, if your particular poison is handbags or cars or whatever it is, just because you've always dreamed of owning a Birkin bag doesn't mean you should buy Hermes stock. So that's something to just keep aware of all the time.
Exactly. Doing the analysis on the fundamentals and, of course, making sure that you actually understand the business and its long-term trajectory in terms of growth. I guess, Africa, we are too small to mention when it comes to our contribution to luxury.
No, we are. No, look, we are, despite the fact that tenderpreneurs love this stuff, which a bit tongue-in-cheek there, but it's been a couple of weeks in South Africa. I can get away with that. The Lamborghinis are flying out the door down here.
Right.
We are still very small in the global context, very, very tiny. And anyone who's traveled overseas will immediately understand that. You just have to walk through an airport, walk down a high street in London or whatever, and you understand what real money looks like.
100%.
And it's not us with our rands in Sandton and at the waterfront.
Exactly. Yeah. Dollar bills used to get you quite far, but as we hear, that theme might be changing. But you're quite right. We are small to contribute to the luxury goods market. Such a pleasure speaking to you as always, Ghost. Really appreciate your insight and helping us understand a little bit more about the world of luxury, not only the products, but also the fundamentals of the stock. Thanks again for your time.
Always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Fantastic. That's retail analyst, the finance ghost, giving us some insight into LVMH. Typically, we know their luxury brands, right? Tiffany's, Moët & Chandon, Hennessy, Louis Vuitton. And these are essentially companies that might be known to us as South African consumers, but also do present an opportunity for us to invest in the stock market. Interesting shifts and changes happening in the business following their share price surging on the back of an earnings update. As Ghost mentioned, analyze it, understand your positioning, and maybe it might be worth reviewing if you add it to your portfolio. But don't go in with your heart, as he said. It's one thing to love the brand for their products and the feeling that they might give you and the experience. But when it comes to your money in the stock, do your research.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.